Okay. Hello, my friends and family, my extended family here. I've come to this meeting has become a big part of my life. I try to get here daily. And I've made friends. It's kind of surreal in a way. I've made pretty close friends with people I've never even met in person. This technology is a blessing in so many ways. I'm going to start out when I was a child. I know a lot of people like to start out at the end of their lives and go backwards. I'm a traditionalist in that respect. I'm going to start from the beginning. When one of the earliest memories I have was before I was in elementary school. I imagine I was probably 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. My father and I drove my grandparents from Idaho, where I live, back to Indiana, where they were from. We took their car and drove them back there, and we spent a few days there after we got there. And two things I remember about Indiana. The first one was fireflies, which I'd never seen before. Still an amazing memory in my mind. It's little lights buzzing around in the sky. And the other one was I won't go into its specific ingredients, but sandwiches that my grandmother used to fix for me. And I mean, I don't know how many I was eating, but I was eating a lot. And it turns out, it probably contained one or two of my binge foods. And we were there, I really don't know how long we were there. We could have been there 1 week, 2 weeks. You could have been there a month. I was a little kid. But I remember having a lot of fun and eating a lot of those sandwiches. And on the way back, I remember this. I'll stop saying I remember things. I think if I'm talking about, you'll assume I'm remembering it. This kind of satchel full of these sandwiches, like I was going to starve to death on the train or something, even though they had food on there. And the train trip back was great. And little kid got to see a lot of different things. And trains were big for little kids back then. And we got back to Boise, and my mother was there to pick us up at the depot. And the first thing she said when she looked at me, and she said, "Oh my God," and I don't know if she said the word fat or not, but she said she would never say that to me if she was, not totally shocked. But how do you get so big, or how do you get so fat? To my dad. And I don't remember the conversation after that. But that was the beginning of my overeating journey. I was always kind of the chubby kid in school. Looking back, I wasn't that overweight. But in my head, and in the head of some of the kids, I was fat. And at some point, I think it was slowly but surely, I developed a sense of humor as kind of a protection against the verbal abuse, and maintain that to this day. As some of you will attest, even if you don't like my sense of humor, there it is. And school, things are pretty normal in school, especially elementary school. I go out for sports like basketball or football, and since I was chubby, I would always be put on the offensive line to block, which is one of the most fun things about football, is when the ball's like you just put your head into somebody in front. I've got a message from my friends at Bath and Body Works. I don't care to see. There we go. And that's kind of the position you're shoehorned into when you're an overweight kid. And my sense of humor was developing more and more. I remember one of my best friends in school, Robert, and I would just cut up in class. My teacher I had in third and fourth grade, because she moved up a grade when I did, just spoiled us rotten. She kind of put up with it. By the time I got to fifth grade, I met a teacher that didn't want to put up with it, and I ended up in the office a lot. Or th this is unusual. I say I needed to go to the restroom, and I go down there and I just sit and kind of play on the tiles, my imagination, create a baseball field or something like that. And pretty soon, I think the teacher is becoming concerned that I had some kind of kidney condition or something, because they called my mom, and my mom said, "You're spending a lot of time in the bathroom down there." And I said, "Well, yeah, I just like to hang out in there." And she said, "Stop it." So I stopped it. I was a patrol in sixth grade, which was probably the highest office I've attained since I've been alive. Junior high school, 7 through 9 here, was when boys and girls start kind of changing relationships and being more about that kind of onset of attraction. And I was always conscious of my weight, and it's about this time that I thought that maybe that no girl would want to have anything to do with me because I was getting fatter. And but it turns out when I was in ninth grade, I got my first serious girlfriend. She was a grade behind. And we spent one summer, and it was really nice, first love and all that. And but I was, it was about that same point I started getting noticeably bigger. And she moved over the summer. She and her family moved to Pennsylvania, so that was the end of that. And I think I ate more. And by the time I got to my sophomore year, I was pushing where people, were really noticing me being bigger than other people. And of course, I had my sense of humor to deflect that. I still went out for sports. I went out for basketball and tennis, and I ended up, like on the D team, the lowest team in basketball and all that, but it was still fun. And I loved doing that stuff. When I was a, I think it was when I was a junior, my mom, I remember I weighed, 5'8". I weighed, I think 214 was the weight I weighed in at the doctor's office that stuck in my head, because this doctor was going to give me diet shots in the morning before I go to school and help me take the weight off. And, I was all for it. So, I went in for the first morning, and they gave me the shot, which I didn't like so much. And then he gave me a bottle of appetite suppressants. And it didn't really look like a diet. There was no, looking back, there was no big label on it or anything like that. And there wasn't the controls there are now, thank God. But I go home and take one in the morning and then take one in the afternoon. It made me feel a lot better. Not only did it kill my appetite, but I wanted to dance. I wanted to play football. I wanted to be on my feet. And I realized at some point that one worked, that two worked even better, and if two worked, four worked even better. Excuse me. So today, a doctor would notice that. But back then, all they did was when I came up empty, would give me another bottle, no questions asked. And I ended up taking about six of them day, and then really becoming addicted to speed at that point, because they were just methamphetamine. And when that happened, he said, "Well, here, try these, they're stronger." So, okay, and only had to take four of those a day, so that was a big relief on me. But I was losing weight. Well, I was losing weight hand over fist. I was down like to 165 or 170, which for me, I'm pretty stout, or pretty, what do they call it, stocky. So I'm kind of wide bodied anyway. And I was able to do anything I wanted to do because I was on that speed. And I go back one morning, I think it was late in my junior year, and there's a sign on the office door that said, "Office is closed. Doctor passed away over the weekend." And that was kind of shocking because I was supposed to be getting my pills and stuff. And where was I going to get that? But, I was like 17 years old, and I knew where to get speed. And I ended up, addicted to speed from that experience. In high school, I still started playing, I still played sports a little bit. And I worked one summer at to earn enough money to buy a drum set, because I always wanted to play drums. And I had accomplished that, and bought me a little drum set, and I practiced. I didn't know what I was doing. I was self-taught. And that was something that came to help identify me too. And we I get together with some other friends that didn't know what they were doing either, and we make music in our basement, music very loosely termed, and that was outstanding. But and you know what, things like that made me feel kind of normal, like I was just another teenager. And then somebody would make a remark about my weight, and then it would go south again. When I graduated from high school, I went to college the first time. I didn't like it. I think I made a semester or two, and then I decided I wasn't going to go back because, I wanted to have fun. I wanted to have fun, so I got a job. I think at a trailer factory. No, it was a tire retread factory. They did retread tires back then when there were retreads, and met a couple of the guys, and we started a band. And that band, we started playing places and also working at the plant. And I was still taking speed, and now I was drinking with it, and just having the time of my life. We rented this house together, and the garage had been converted into a ballet studio. So it still had the pink ribbons and stuff on the wall and the bar and all that. And we converted that into a rehearsal place for the band. And I tell you, I was living my dream. I was playing rock and roll, getting paid for it, and felt good most of the time because I was taking all these drugs, and not just, it was marijuana at the time too, LSD. I started taking a lot of different drugs, but the speed was every day. And my musical career kind of developed a little bit, and I was in a pretty good band. We were playing 6 nights a week in town. And we got a booking agent, and we were going to go out on the road. And we went out on the road a couple of times. We go out for 6 to 8 weeks, and then come back home and play in a bar around here for a week, and take a week off. And the next time we went to go out, I couldn't find any speed. I mean, none. It was really dried up, and I couldn't tell them, "Well, no, I can't go out on the road because I can't find any speed." So I just went, and that's how I kicked the speed. Was well, drinking certainly helped, and eating certainly helped. But I went out on the road, and man, pretty soon I just wasn't taking it anymore, which is a blessing. But I was drinking a lot more, and I was eating a lot more. I guess the point I'm going with these multiple addictions is this disease is here. There's a lot of allergies and stuff in my body, but this is what drives and drove me to do all that stuff, my brain. It's not like other people's brains. My body chemistry is not like other people's body chemistry. And that extends to food too. There are certain foods that I eat, they cause a physical craving in me that I cannot not have more. Or, like dieting, it's always so tough because I felt bad when I was dieting because I wasn't getting what I needed, And I dieted, 10, 15, 20 times by the time I was 25. I lost weight, and then slowly but surely it came back on. I find that's pretty common among compulsive overeaters. The band thing ended up being something I did for quite a few years, played in bands and bars around town and all that. And the weight was kind of held at bay, more or less. I was overweight, but I couldn't. I probably was like 25 pounds over, which for me wasn't that much in the scheme of things. The next thing that happened was I got married. I was lonely, and I met a lady that had 3 kids, and we courted, the old people say, and we got married. And suddenly I had this ready-made family, and which was extra pressure. And that's the first time I ended up at a doctor's for antidepressants because my depression was getting pretty pronounced. And I started taking antidepressants, and it was almost like taking speed. It made me feel better. And if any whatever I put in my body, if it makes me feel better, I want to do it all the time. So that was a great help, but I still ate myself to about 300 pounds, And I tried Weight Watchers, and I tried Tops, which is a really good support
5 minutes,
program.
Dave.
Thank you. Really good support program. And they worked for a while, but they just didn't do any good. I ended up going to a psychiatrist. And that's when I went to my first OA meeting. This was in like the early 1990s. And I got to speed this up. Where am I now? Okay, I went to my first OA meeting and people were telling my story. It was amazing. And I was in OA for about a year and I lost over 100 pounds the first time. I was actually down to like 155 or 150, which would be a pretty normal weight for somebody my size. And after a year, I figured I was fixed. And I got a, I was going to go to church with my wife and kids because that's what they were doing. And I figured, well, I've got a relationship with God now. And so I'm just going to do that. And wasn't long until everything fell apart. And I figured it was my wife's problem. So I divorced her. I got custody of her son and moved back to Boise. And it was really weird after that for quite a while. And where it ended up was I was my son had grown up and moved out. I had a house that I was buying, and I was so depressed I couldn't work. I had a really good job, bus driving, and couldn't do that anymore because I couldn't get out of the house. The depression was so overwhelming again. And my thoughts started drifting towards suicide. And pretty soon, when I started to think about it, it eased my mind. My brother was there, who at that time had about 15 years clean and sober in AA. And one day we were talking. He came over about once a week and we talked. I said, "Well, what would you do if you were me?" And he said, "Well, I would go back to OA. You want to go?" And I said, "Yeah." Caught me at exactly the right time. And I came back. That was 16 years ago. I still play music. I love it. I'm in the best relationship of my life with a woman I met in OA. A wonderful woman, very, very patient. And I've made friends and a fellowship like this one, this virtual fellowship of people that I just love. You know, a lot of you I really love. I really do. I wouldn't know what to do without you. And people that have supported me and people have taken my first steps. And I still do local OA here, a couple of meetings. But I'm on a meeting every day unless I have a really good reason not to do it. I've lost and maintained over 200 pounds. And no, you know, I still take antidepressants. That's not, I don't want to make that sound like that was a deal. You know, they do help me. They keep me out of the depression, which is pretty crippling in my case. But what I'd like to really emphasize before my time's up is that I couldn't have done it without a sponsor. I couldn't have done it without somebody there to show me how they got better. And if you're in this meeting now and you don't have one and you're just testing the waters or wherever, that's fine. But I've never seen anybody have long-term recovery that didn't have a sponsor of some sort. So anyway, I really love y'all, and it's always a an honor to be asked to share my story. And I know the minute I'm done, I'll be going, "Oh, damn, I left that out." But that's for another time. So anyway, I love all you guys. Thanks for having me.